This week on the Music Biz Weekly podcast.
One more time.
This week on the Music Biz Weekly podcast, we dig into two of the most common things Jay and I get asked all the time by clients. What about playlisting? What about advertising? Well, we're sitting down with a service that can solve both those problems and do it in a way that you don't necessarily have to risk your band's reputation on a streaming service or waste money in ad platforms that aren't delivering results.
Welcome to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast, founded in 2011 and with over 500 weekly episodes, where Michael Brandvold and Jay Gilbert, two longtime music industry pros, discuss the very latest trends, tools, and tactics that you need to succeed in this new music business.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Music Biz Weekly podcast. You got Mike, you got Jay. We've got a guest this week, but I
Good
think
one.
this is an interesting one that I know Jay, you and I are both eager to try this suite of tools out.
Absolutely. It's one of those tools that you and I talk about a lot that we need and that we use, but
And we get asked about.
unfortunately, that's right. But unfortunately, some of these are very labor intensive. And I think what's interesting about this one is it takes some of that work off of our desks.
Yeah, exactly. And so before we get into this week's guest and the guest interview, quick shout out. Thank you to Bruce and everybody at Hypebot and Bands in Town for all your support. And of course, to our sponsors, discmakers.com. Have you always wanted to hear your music on vinyl? At Discmakers, they believe every indie artist should have that opportunity. But you shouldn't have to go broke placing your order, and you shouldn't have to wait months to receive it either. That's why disc makers offer the lowest vinyl prices in the country, and your records can be ready in as fast as 3 weeks. 112-inch records in jackets starting at just $999, with unparalleled customer service and the widest range of options like different colors, multiple packaging options. And weights up to 180 grams, it's easy to see why disc makers is the only choice for custom vinyl record pressing. As summer is fast approaching, now's the perfect time to stock up with a shockingly fast turnaround period and unmatched low prices. There's never been a better time to take vinyl for a spin. Visit discmakers.com/vinyl to get started on your order today. Jay, who's joining us and what are we talking about?
Today, we are being joined by Danny Garcia. He's the co-founder and CEO of Song Tools, and they've just introduced this new thing called Songfly, and they have their Playlister Club. It is a really good conversation for new developing and middle-class artists. This could be a really good solution for you.
I mean, Jay, I'm sure like me, your clients are always asking, you know, what about playlisting? What do we do to get on playlists? Should I go invest in playlisting? What about advertising? How's it easy to run ads? And you know, there's hurdles that you have to overcome in playlisting and ads to make sure you're doing it properly in order to get the results you want.
Yeah, and so you don't get
And
pulled down,
so
right?
you don't get pulled down, so you don't waste money on ads that are seen by nobody, that
Exactly.
drive no results. So we have a great conversation with Danny today about their suite of tools, especially playlisting and advertising. Let it roll, and we'll see you at the end.
Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate your support.
Today, we're joined by Danny Garcia. He's a co-founder and CEO of Song Tools. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. For those who have no prior knowledge of what your company does or what the service is, sort of lay it out for the novice. What do you guys do?
So thanks for having me on. Really excited to be on. And what we do at Song Tools is that we help music creators build a fan base through our platform where we automate marketing for artists. So our whole idea is to make it as easy as possible for an early stage creator to come in and start running campaigns, whether that be towards playlists. So playlist curators on platforms like Spotify that share music with a lot of listeners, or run ads on social media platforms like Facebook and Instagram and TikTok the whole idea is that we want to demystify or make it very, very easy to tap into these, you know, tactics that a lot of bigger artists and labels use, but make it very easy to use for the, you know, early stage creators or someone that does not have a lot of, you know, digital marketing knowledge.
So Danny, today we definitely want to focus on your new tool, Songfly, which is your advertising tool. But before we get into that, just real quick, because you mentioned that hot topic playlist. I mean, you know, Jay and I, I had a client call yesterday and the artist is like, what about playlisting? So can you just give us a real high level, because we're in a world of playlisting right now that, and I'm sure you are more well aware of this than anybody, because there's so many scam playlist companies out there, so many, that they kind of ruined it for legit companies who are doing it, because, you know, they're selling you, you know, they're selling you playlists that are absolutely crap. You know, I saw somebody who had their track added to Metallica's greatest hits playlist. I'm like, but you're not Metallica. Why would you get added to Metallica's greatest hits?
Right.
Clear sign to me that it's a fake playlist that somebody just created to make money, basically.
Or they're using bots or spin farms.
Or they're using bots or spin farms.
Yeah.
Which, as we know, if Spotify catches you involved in that, you know, they could ban you from the platform forever.
And they have been
artist.
Pulling people
and they
down,
have.
Right?
Yep.
Ari Erstein wrote that thing for Variety a couple of weeks ago where he had, you know, like a dozen artists who were getting their stuff pulled down and they didn't use one of these services. But
so
your question, Mike.
Yeah, so real quick, from a high level, how do you attack playlisting in a way that the artist, the client, has confidence that it's not bots, it's not spin farms, you're not paying for placement, that it's a legit pitching service?
Yeah. I can speak towards our service first, and then I'll like break away and just kind of show how I think about playlisting in general. But with Songtool specifically, we've been building out a curated or pre-vetted community of playlists since 2019. We started by offering that we didn't even have an artist or label side. We were a curation platform. My background is I've been in this playlisting space since I was in college at NYU. I was, you know, doing like marketing consulting campaigns, helping artists get on playlists, which led me to this exact, you know, tech solution, which was like I saw how much that exact problem, not only people paying to get on fake playlists, but also even if they were real playlists, people were paying a lot of money to get on those playlists and there wasn't, you know, a cost to benefit there. So we were like, how do we find a way that's, first of all, pre-vetted and then also cost-effective for artists to get in front of curators? It's not guaranteed, but it's a way to get in front of them. So that's the first thing, is that it's not guaranteed that you're going to get on playlists. But in terms of the bots and the spin farms and all of that, we have what we call the A&R program, which is a closed-off ecosystem of curators. So to even like work with our artists, you need to apply to the A&R program. And when they apply, they go through basically a multi-step verification process. It starts by us looking at kind of like the classics. If you've done any playlist vetting in the past, you know, chart metrics, spot on track, like all of those back-end tools that let us see, is there any weird data at all here, right? We're even looking at like what cities are the popular cities that these playlists are streaming in. And you can kind of tell by the distribution of those cities, usually if they even pass, right, like the marks that we look at. Taking it a step further, what we do at Songtools is that we actually talk to each one of the curators that we accept to the platform. And that's really where we're able to catch anyone that's, they might be a bad actor, or they might have been involved with a bad actor, or they might just even like kind of evade any question at all, which is telling in and of itself. But we actually talk to the curators, email with them, jump on calls with them if we need to, asking them, how did you grow your playlist? Usually they give us like the story of how it happened, and they need to provide screenshots of, you know, what if they're using ads, like provide the screenshots of your Facebook ads manager. And then we have ways of telling like, oh, they've spent this much, you know, the data doesn't align here. To give you an idea, around less than 50% of the curators that actually apply to the system get in. So we have a pretty rigorous like acceptance rate, and it is like done very much, artisanally. It's like me and three other people on the team that deal with, accepting curators or not. And all of that to build out a system that is, not only above board, but just like real playlists. And we do weekly vetting on top of that as well. So just to make sure that once you're accepted, you don't like stray from, the terms that we've set at the beginning.
I
Are
like that
you
you're looking at the data. Go ahead,
are you
Mike.
also real quick, are you cleaning that list of playlists? Meaning, I don't know, once a year, every 6 months, hey, this guy hasn't added any new songs to his playlist through our system in the last 12 months. What's going on?
So we do what like they're weekly checks basically. So at the end of every, we call it an A&R week, which is like these curators basically come to our system and they help us build out this chart. So it's like we call it the playlist pulse chart. You can view it at songtools.io/playlist pulse. And that is basically top 15 chart of the top trending tracks in our system. So once that chart is compiled, our team goes in the back end and understands, okay, like, who's adding songs, what are they adding to? Are these playlists still legit? The ones that aren't adding, sometimes they'll get suspended if they're just kind of like sitting there. So it is very much like a fluid system in terms of like who interacts and stuff like that.
I find this really interesting because I don't know if you remember Jay Frank with Digsin, and he was one of the pioneers. He's passed away sadly, but where he went out and created a group of user curated playlists that were legit, and he built that so he would have something for his company to send them, not to pay for play, but just to say, can I get your opinion on this? And if it does fit your genre and mood, then we'll add you to the playlist. It sounds sort of like that's what you're sort of picking up that baton and taking it. And I love that you're looking at the data, because I find that when you look at, you mentioned Chartmetric and Spot on Track, I use Vibrate. There are other platforms out there that are really good, but you can tell where these playlists come from, and there are certain markets that are notorious for trying to game the system. You always look to see if they're free accounts, because typically they're free accounts. I mean, if you can grab somebody's paid account, there's a whole nother, ecosystem in that we won't get into. But I guess the long-winded question is, it sounds like to me, and correct me if this is different, that it's a meritocracy, that these folks aren't going to add anything that isn't just great music to their individual playlists. It's not a matter of you going, hey, listen, we're going to pay you for this. We're going to, just add this thing.
Do
It's
me a
really,
favor and add it to your playlist, even though the song doesn't belong there. Do me this favor.
Is it that meritocracy that it sounds like?
That was kind of, I think, the hardest thing to build out was like, how do you make it a meritocracy? Because even like the above board platforms that exist currently outside of us, they're very much like submission based. So you're like sending like one-on-one to a curator, and then a curator goes into this platform and they have like an inbox, essentially Gmail inbox of all these tracks. What we've done is we've built out, imagine like Netflix. So when a curator logs in, they're matched with a huge pool of music of new releases that we've tapped into their back end, that we can actually read what they listen to, what they add to their playlist. And so then we can recommend them better new releases. And then we don't tell them like, hey, add this track or this track. We're like freely curate, like do your job as a curator and just go through this pool of music. If you don't like anything, you don't need to add it. But we're confident that we're probably going to recommend you something that you like, and you'll probably add it. And then by letting them kind of do their job of curating, they end up having like a bit more ownership over the artists that they do find and share them hopefully to better spots for longer positions and within playlists that actually fit. So we've like kind of flipped the submission model and put the burden of like making the matching on the curator rather than the artist sitting or the label sitting there and like sending song by song to whatever curator they think might be the right fit. So that's, I think, one of the key differences within our system and like what the other things that are out there.
Super
So
interesting. Go ahead, Mike.
let's move on to Songfly, which is your new tool set. And basically, the description that we were given, it's a one-click advertising tool to help artists grow their fan base on streaming platforms. Talk about this ad platform. How does it work? What, growing your fan base, what does that mean? Are you talking about specifically growing followers on your Spotify profile, growing Apple Music? I mean, take us into how Songfly works as a one-click ad tool, understanding, one-click ad tools in itself is nothing new. Many services have come and gone. Why are you different?
Good question. I think I can kind of take a step back there and also talk about like why we did it in the first place, because we're a playlisting company and it is kind of a natural step forward. But really, like after operating that system for 2.5, 3 years, we got to like meet a lot of artists, a lot of labels, and just like learn more about what problems they were having. And I think this is like one of the first takeaways, like for artists as well, is like I think playlists are great and they serve like one function, which for me is like the top of the funnel. They get you in front of a lot of people. They're not going to necessarily drive like long-term listeners to the rate that something like an ad campaign might, right? So we think of like the marketing funnel and playlists sit at the top. It's awareness. It gets you listeners, but not necessarily save rates or followers on this profile or things like that. And we learned that by working with a lot of artists and being like, hey, we got them on great playlists. Let's go into their Spotify for Artists. Like, what's going on? And, 6 months later, it was like, yeah, we got them X amount of streams, but, what was the residual value of those streams? And so we really took a deep dive into the methods that the people that were achieving like residual value, and the common denominator was ad campaigns, right? It's like, how do you, like, from a paid marketing perspective, how do these people actually drive, real fans in terms of followers and save rates to the song? And so we took basically a year to build out a one-click ad solution that makes it easy for people to run ads on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And it's very much tailored to streaming campaigns. So we're not necessarily like, there's certain, like you mentioned, other platforms that are like, hey, get this, grow your followers or grow X, thing on Instagram. We're very much like, here's how you can send people out of Instagram or TikTok into a Spotify or Apple. That's like the basic, function of what we do. Additionally to that, like we've made it very, very simple to the point where all we need is the Spotify link for a song. We do not need to connect to your Facebook or Meta ad account or TikTok account. We don't even need a creative from you because we're using the album cover for your song to make a creative that's high converting with like AI backgrounds and stuff like that. So the challenge that we were solving was like, if someone knows nothing about ads and like literally just has a Spotify link and a $30 budget, how can we run a campaign and get some basic fans to that song? And it took us a year to like solve that problem. And that's kind of what Songfly does differently. It's very much tailored to early stage creators, even though we're seeing, labels use it as well.
Is what's the difference between Songfly and Playlister Club?
They're two different tools. So our website is a toolkit, basically. So you can go, it's all used per song, and you can just kind of like, you can launch a playlisting campaign or an ad campaign or both. So they're the two different tools. And I think also like another point to add there, these are all tactics that you can do yourself. Like you don't have to use our system. I think that funnel framework is really important as well to like learn, because it lets you think about like, all right, now maybe I have $100 for a release. How much can I spend on playlisting? How much can I spend on ads? Knowing that the playlisting is just going to get me like listeners, the ads might get me new followers, and then the bottom of the funnel would be selling concert tickets, merch, or other ways of like engaging deeper with the people that you've like in made interest or like aware of your music. So that funnel framework for us is kind of like it guides us into like everything we do on our platform and what we're building.
Can you talk us through a simple example of, an artist that wants to run an ad campaign to get more Spotify followers? You said you just basically need the link to the song, you pull in the album artwork. What are you creating, and what is the message? Because as we know, when you start getting deeper into advertising, it's not just throwing an ad up. It's what's the message on the ad? What's the visual on the ad? Where is it driving you to? How easy is it to engage once you land at that destination page? Can you give us a simple example of what a Spotify ad would look like?
So the like a user or an artist would come to our website. They select, like you said, a Spotify campaign. They would have the option to go on to Instagram, TikTok, or Facebook. So they'd select a channel. Let's say they select Instagram. They basically set a daily budget for X amount of days and click go. And they can be as hands-off or as hands-on as they want to be. If you're going to be hands-off and you just use all of our smart geography, smart creative, that sets off like a chain of events in our system where we are going into that artist's backend data. We also look at, where they're streaming, whatever similar artists, whatever genre data we can get, and all these data points. And we've mapped all of those to, in this case, Instagram. So we have interests and lookalike audiences and all the like technical stuff on those ad platforms that are mapped to this data that we're able to get on their music, so that we can see like, okay, this is an indie pop artist in Brooklyn. We've run X amount of indie pop campaigns in the past. Like, we can kind of infer that this is a good starting place for this artist. So from a targeting perspective, that's what we do. Similarly, like with geographies, we're looking at where the clicks are coming from on previous campaigns and start running. Unless you tell us, hey, I'm gonna go tour in California, like I need to run it in California, you have the option to target where. So that's the targeting aspect of it. The next step is creating a pixel. Our platform automatically does that for each campaign. We create a landing page automatically for each campaign that looks kind of like a link tree type thing that you can edit as well. The pixel is placed on there, and then it starts running conversion campaigns for that artist automatically. So that's really like the value for the artist, and then also the creative, right? So we make like an album cover based creative that you can upload your own, or you can use our system. We have like full integration with Pexels, so you can actually go in and make creatives with stock videos and stuff like that. Or we also have a team member on the team that can make really cool AI-based creatives for you. So there's a lot of options in terms of creatives, and we suggest you test different things out. But yeah, that's how it works. That's kind of the value there, is that we're doing all the like heavy lifting when it comes to like creating the pixel, the landing page, and retargeting and reoptimizing stuff, where it's very tricky to do that if you're an artist, unless you have a digital marketing background. It can be very like cumbersome to go in there and do all that yourself while you're also, trying to play live, trying to get on playlists, trying to do all these other things as an artist. We've tried to make it very simple to use.
I
You meant
imagine
you
you
mentioned
have.
that the ad creates a landing page, and that's where the ad drives the user to. So how is that landing page interacting with Spotify to get the person to become a follower?
Yeah, so you can link someone to. You have full control over the landing page. So you can actually, that's one of the benefits of running these campaigns, is that it can be Spotify, Apple, Deezer, Tidal, any of the streaming services. But in the Spotify case, it will link, again, it's mostly to the actual song. So everything we do goes through song. It's not going to the profile or anything like that. It's all track based, because we found that like making it just very tunnel focused, like if the ad is about a song, the landing page is about that same song, they click through and they find the song, they're much more likely to listen to the song because that's what made them click in the first place. Like, one of the mistakes that artists do is like they advertise the song and then they send you to an artist profile where, like, if I'm just like walking on the street in New York and I just happen to see an ad and I click it and it's for a song, and then I get to a landing page for an artist and the song is nowhere even in the top five. Like, you might lose that click. So you want to like remove like the friction points throughout the funnel. If you advertise the song, send them to the song. Typically, what we see is that if the song is good and they like the song, which is usually a high percentage if they clicked out of Instagram to go listen to it, They'll likely save that song. I think save rates is usually what we see the highest residual value in terms of our campaigns, which can trigger like algorithmic playlists. But a lot of the times they'll go and follow that artist after they listen to the song. So that's like, we don't have exact like follower campaigns. Rather, it's more just like discovery campaigns for a specific track that can then lead to the discovery of that artist as a whole.
Got it. So when an artist signs up, what kinds of things are they going to see on their dashboard? I imagine you have some data that you provide for people so they can sort of track the, the progress of their campaigns. What types of metrics can people see on that dashboard?
We have so like we have some really cool ones on the playlisting side that aside from like the basics in terms of like what playlists you've made it on and how many followers they have, but we have like things like that we call like the branding engagement index, which is really cool because that's like because we show your album cover alongside a bunch of other album covers, like kind of like a record store back in the day, like we can tell you how many people look at your album cover and skip over it, don't listen, or click on it and listen. And that's what we call the branding engagement index. And it's really interesting because a lot of the times we see like independent artists like not really thinking about the album cover that much without knowing that that actually plays into the discovery of the song. So that's one of the tips we always have for artists is like look at like pay a lot of attention to the branding because we've seen certain songs that have a really high song engagement index, meaning once it's listened to, it gets added. But getting people to listen to it because of the album cover is actually a challenge. So things like that that help you learn more about like the release and stuff. On the Songfly ad side, it's kind of what you would imagine as well. How many clicks, how many conversions. You can see where they're coming from as well in the world, as well as where they're going to. So you can see like, oh, you've sent, 30 people to Apple, 25 people to Spotify, X, Y, Z. So it's all tracked in real time as well. So you can very easily just kind of like check the dashboard and see what's happening.
Can you use the ad tool to promote a YouTube video?
Yes, yeah, you can. What you would do in that sense is just take off like the streaming services and leave the video. So you'd still promote a song on like Instagram. It'd be like an ad for a song. When the user or the listener clicks on that ad, they'd be sent to a landing page with that YouTube video or direct to the YouTube video.
So, Frank, honestly, you could any element that could be embedded in the landing page. I mean, it could be a TikTok video, it could be a YouTube video, anything that can be embedded in that page, you could use the ad tool to drive traffic for viewing or listening.
Yeah, and it's really cool because we've seen, I mean, this is still like a DSP one, but like, we had a label using us like earlier in the year that was like doing a lot of stuff in Africa with Boomplay, and we didn't even have that as as an option, but we added it, took all the other DSPs off, and then they were able to run like successful campaigns to like a completely different DSP over in Africa. So that's really like it's cool in that sense. We have a few like interesting, use cases.
Now,
Interesting.
when the ads are run, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or TikTok, are they being run through the artist's account on those platforms, or how is that connected?
Good question. Yeah, this is I think one of the like main questions we always get that some people are like have some friction on, but we run on our accounts. It would be like a Songtools account and or we have some like recommendation accounts. So like for example, like Best New Rap, where it's like kind of a general genre focused like Instagram account that recommends rap in this case. The reason we do that is twofold. First is ease of use, because when you go on to like other platforms that like do similar things, you will spend a lot of time linking your ad account, and a lot of
Yeah.
artists like get their ad accounts shut down, don't remember the passwords, have like all these problems. So we were like, if you're actually going to be a one-click ad tool for artists, like that's so many clicks. So we need to get rid of that friction point. And by running through our ad accounts, it is truly one click. Like you just click go and you don't have to do anything else.
That's
The
interesting.
second, Yeah, it's really cool. And then this, I guess the two, number two and number three are the data. So we host all the data points for all of the campaigns on one account. So we're able to tap into like previous campaigns a lot
You can
easier.
slice and dice that data to apply to somebody else.
So if you're like, like again, that indie pop in Brooklyn kind of artist, we've done a bunch of those campaigns in the past. So you can pick up where we left off with those. And then third would be also the I think it's just the data, I think, is the other one there. It kind of is all encompassing in that sense.
That's super interesting.
Has anybody used the ad tool to promote tours?
That's a good question. We haven't we're testing that stuff out. So we have a few, we have, I would say, like three balls up in the air with the ad tool. The first one is ticketing, which is like being worked on in the back end. This other one is playlists. We found that a lot of people can similarly like grow playlists in one click, which is very interesting for not only the like playlist community that we have, but also labels that, can create like branded playlists for their catalog and stuff. And then the other one is podcasts, actually. That one's a really interesting one, and we're working on a few, like with a podcasting partner there to like test out the ad tool for podcasts.
Interesting. Well, tell me a little bit about, so you're doing all of this. Are there certain genres and moods or artists? I mean, are you really strong in EDM and country, but maybe weak in hard rock? I mean, talk a little bit about how you're evolving as a platform.
I would say like from a, it's interesting, like breaking it up from like a playlisting perspective, definitely like commercial electronic EDM rap, that sound or that like very commercial sound tends to do best on our system. Just because like if you look at an EDM track, not only do we have genre specific playlists, and this is I think across the board for playlisting as a whole, not just in our ecosystem, but like those tracks tend to do well because playlists exist that are not only genre, but also cooking, right? Like, or cleaning, or like running, or a lot of these mood and activity based playlists, a lot of them are like electronic focused or house music or things like that. So that tends to do really well on playlisting. On the Songfly side, on the flip side, we've seen it do really well on with like niche genres because you can go in and target like really niche like things like more like folk oriented stuff or something that's like maybe just less commercial than on playlists tends to do not better but has a a better chance of picking up more people than it would on playlists. So across the board though, we generally work with most commercial genres and it's more about the song, I would say, and like the actual creative and stuff than like genre based. It's if it's a good song, it'll usually find pickup through the system.
Interesting.
Final question before we wrap, and this is always the first question clients ask. How much money am I going to have to spend to use this? And I'll follow that up with, because in the past, some of these other self-service platforms sound great until you get in there and it's like, yeah, you got to start with a $500 minimum ad buy. $500 can shut out a lot of DIY artists immediately. I mean, I've had some where it's like, that's my whole marketing budget, $500. I'm like, well, that's a whole nother issue we got to discuss. But what's it, what is your minimum ad buy amount that somebody could get into this system with?
The short answer is $30 is the minimum ad buy.
Is there a sweet spot? Is there something like, yeah, that's our minimum, but if you can go 50, we typically get a little bit more lift.
I would say like giving it 10 to 15 days. So like the 100 to 150 mark, which I know is above what certain artists can spend, but that's typically where we see a, like a lot of good, if you have $50 and under, what I would suggest is more going the playlist route. On the playlisting side, it's $48. And that gives you 30 days of promo. It's a flat rate. You're not going to like pay more if you get on a bunch of playlists. We have stuff for all price points. We even have free tools. So like that landing page tool that I talked about is completely free, unlimited usage for any number of artists and any number of releases. We have a blogging tool that lets you build out like blogs for each song. That's completely free. The ad creation tool where you can like use like assets to like create ads is also free. So we're trying to build out like very, very like cost-effective tools that artists can use. Cause you know, we know that like as independent artists, it's not $500 plus. It's more like you're saying $100 or less kind of price point.
So when you say like a 15-day ad campaign for $150, is that $10 a day? That's not $150 a day, right?
No, it's $10 a day. So it'd be like $100 to $150. It's very flexible. So like we have certain people that come in and they want to run like really high daily budgets for like 3 days. You can do that on our system. It's basically like a slider. So you can say, I want to run 10 to X amount of dollars. You like get it up to where you want it and you want to run it for X amount of days. The minimum is 3 days. So the minimum you can spend is $10 a day for 3 days, which is $30.
And I'm assuming basically what changes the more you spend is just the greater exposure you're going to get. The more people are going to see your ads is what you get by spending more.
Yeah. It's like the same model as going like direct to like Instagram, right? Where it's like a daily budget.
Right.
And obviously the more you spend, the more impressions you'll get. Typically what I suggest doing is like starting with that, like $10 a day, finding like a format that works. Like we obviously help you do that. And then once you hit like, you know, a conversion rate that you're happy with, you can scale it up or keep it running there, or kind of like stop it if you need to, or yeah.
Yeah. And I'm excited by this. I'm definitely going to want to kick the tires, so to speak, get in there and try it out for some of my clients, because I'm always looking for a good, you know, do-it-yourself ad platform like this, especially ones that have low barriers of entry. It's tough to get involved with ad platforms where you've got to immediately spend $1,000 just to get in there and give it a try.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have that sort of budget to try something for that.
And
amount.
Like you said
but
a minute
30
ago,
bucks is, yeah.
It's a pain in the ass to go in there and connect an ad, campaign to an artist's socials and all of that. It does take quite a bit of time and energy and work. And to your point, sometimes they have the login, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Sometimes there are issues. So it intrigued me when you said you didn't have to go down that route, that you could just, you know, go right through you guys. So just like Mike, I would love to, you know, do a little test and kick the tires. It sounds really intriguing.
So Danny, awesome. where do people go? What's the website? Where do they go to get started on trying your tools?
Yeah. It's www.songtools.io. The .com is coming soon. but for now it's .io. And you can actually, if you have questions or anything, reach out to me. I'm Danny, D-A-N-N-Y at songtools.io is my email. Feel free to shoot me any questions if you listen to this and want to try it out.
Great.
Awesome.
Danny,
thank you, Danny.
Thank you so much. We appreciate,
really appreciate
taking the time.
It.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Jay, I'm excited to like I said, kick the tires and give this a
yeah,
try.
Me too.
I'm always eager to find a good ad solution tool because
yeah.
I know just and for as much as you and I know about tech and working these services, you know, it's still an absolute pain in the ass to
yeah.
set up and run ads directly through
sure
Instagram,
is.
Directly through Facebook.
It's
their
labor
tools,
intensive, right?
Their tools are not user-friendly tools at all. So a nice tool that's easy to use but still delivers results, I'm all for that.
Right.
All
the other thing that you and I talk about a lot is safety. You know, we can't risk having our artists pulled off of any platform for trying to game the system, whether it's bots, spin farms, or just any kind of trickery. And it sounds like, you know, I can't wait to kick the tires and try this. But whenever you and I can find a platform that isn't trying to game the system, that's a great day.
Yeah. And trust me, I mean, you know as well as I do, that's becoming harder and harder to find because some of these companies do such a great job making it look real and legit and honest.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, wait a second. Like I said, I had a client who's like got a list of playlists and it was like, yeah, you just got added to the playlist for this movie soundtrack and the best songs of 1969. And I'm like, but this song came out this year. Why would it be added?
But it's
to
on
the
a playlist, Mike. You got it on a playlist.
That, you know, and that's it. That's exactly what some of these people are working for is all the client, all the artist wants is to be able to see we're on a bunch of playlists. They don't know enough to sit here and go, why am I on the Dave Matthews Band favorite tracks playlist? I'm a metal band.
Should I be on that playlist?
Should I be on that? Why? Yeah. What? And if I'm on that, what does that mean? Could that
means you're going to get skipped a lot.
Yeah. Well, first, yeah, obviously nobody's coming there to listen to you. You're not supposed to be there.
That's right.
But are you risking something? Are you risking getting dinged on a platform? So yeah, it's always good to find new services like this that
yeah.
Ease our worries a bit.
Yeah, and ease our workload a little bit. So it'll be fun to test this thing out, and we'll report back as well. But yeah, thank you, Danny. That was a really great chat.
So before we wrap up, once again, just a big shout out and thank you to Bruce and everybody at Hypebot and Bands in Town for all your support, and of course to our sponsors, Disc Makers. We appreciate everything you do every week for us. It means so much to us. And that's it, Music Biz Weekly Podcast. We're out of here. We'll see you next week.
Professionals, listen to the Music Biz Weekly Podcast. If you have a product or service and would like to reach this audience, get in touch with Michael or Jay to discuss sponsorship opportunities.
Music Biz Weekly, provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.